I'd like to go back to Ephesians chapter 1. We had it yesterday in the reading. I'm not going to be very long, but I wanted to consider a little bit of the prayer that the end of the chapter, just a couple of verses there. We've had mentioned yesterday when we took up this chapter that this was the highest truth that was given to the church. Wondrous revelation that was given to us of the blessings that we have in Christ and God's ultimate counsel of glorifying His Son. Two spheres, heaven and an earth. And the Apostle Paul writes this wondrous truth to these Ephesian brethren, these Christians. And at the end of that these wonderful truths that he gives to them, he says, "Wherefore in verse 15, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge or the full knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding or your hearts being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ. And He raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." You know, we have been given this privilege, we as children of God have been given a new life, to be able to have the capacity to understand these wondrous truths. If you go to, it's 1 Corinthians 2, in verse 14, says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." That's the natural man. Man who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior cannot even understand or enter into any of these truths. But we have a life of Christ. We have been given the life of Christ to be able to have the capacity to understand these things. But is that enough? The Apostle Paul gave him these truths, but then he prayed for them. He says, "I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Why was that needed? Why was it needed? Why, if he just gave him the truths, why was it needed that he prayed for them? Because there is also, I believe, a condition by which we have to receive these truths. And it's in dependence upon God. You cannot just say, okay, I can sit here under the sound of the ministry, which was wonderful. I can just read ministry at home. Many wonderful books that are written, exposition of these truths, wonderful things. Is that enough? Is it enough to just have the life of Christ? Is it enough to just have intelligence or be able to understand? No. It requires a real dependence on the Spirit of God to be able to take these things in. And so the Apostle Paul recognizes that it wasn't just enough for him to give them the truth. He needed to pray for them. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of Him. The full knowledge of Him. It's not just even knowledge of truth or knowledge of blessings. It has to be in connection with the person of Christ. It's Him. It's a relationship with Him. And so when we took up these blessings, these truths, it was always in connection with Him. It's as He, in verse 4, He hath chosen us in Him, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Predestinated us unto the adoption of Jesus, of children by Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. In whom we have redemption. It's all in Him, in connection with Himself. So to know things intellectually without the person is not good enough. His desire was that God would give unto us, unto them, unto us, the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the full knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding or your hearts being enlightened that you may know. So I was recently considering the book of Daniel. And we know we have the children's song. Daniel was a man of prayer, daily praying 3 times. We see Daniel in prayer often in that book. And I believe Daniel was given wonderful revelations. But to understand what those revelations were required a moral state, a moral condition. And I believe we can see that in Daniel. If we turn back to Daniel, Daniel chapter 9. I'm not going to read much, but just to see the condition that Daniel was in his prayer. Daniel 9 and verse 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books by the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him and to them that keep His commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and done wickedly and have rebelled and so forth. Daniel confesses the sin of the people of God. And at the end of the chapter, verse 20, and whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord, my God, for the holy mountain of my God. Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee that thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Chapter 10, verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, this was a different revelation. A thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with the fine gold of Uphaz. We'll go down. And verse 10. Behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. It was a moral condition here of Daniel. One, he took his place with the people of God, and not seeking to set himself above others. We don't know, we don't have recorded necessarily any failure in Daniel, but he takes his place with the people of God and confesses their sin as his own. And there he displays the heart of Christ. Lord Jesus, I think it's in Psalm 69. He takes on in verse 5, says, O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. You know, the Lord was sinless, spotless, but he takes on the people's sin. And Daniel here, the same spirit of Christ, takes on confessing his sin, people's sin. And God hears him and gives him understanding in the vision. And then in chapter 10, we see him denying himself those things that are not wrong in any way themselves. Pleasant bread, flesh, and wine, anointing himself. It was an exercise before his heart because of there was a need there to understand what God was telling him. And in that way, God says, from that first time, from when you first, says in from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And so God gives him understanding in these visions. You know, it's wonderful again to have the Word of God before us. It's wonderful to have the ability, the capacity to understand it because we have the life of Christ. But the Lord desires to reveal things to us by His Spirit. And I believe there is a moral condition, an attitude of prayer and dependence upon God, recognizing our own nothingness, our own failures, seeking to know His mind, and He desires to reveal it. There's also one other thing in Daniel, in the beginning of the book. Daniel chapter 1, we know the story well. When the children of the captivity were going to be brought before the king, they were going to have to be nourished, given food, so that they're in a good state, be before the king Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel in verse 8 says, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And then down in verse 16, thus Melzer took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Verse 19. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And so there's also, in addition to an attitude of dependence, there is a moral walk that is necessary. And we see here Daniel would not defile himself with the king's meat, those things of the world that would be defiling to a Christian. God would have us to walk in separation from it. And here they're given understanding. Do we want to understand the Word of God, what God has given to us? It's wonderful to read it, and we need to read it every day, each one of us. We have the capacity, but there is also an attitude and a moral walk that is necessary for us to have a full understanding of what God has given to us. He desires, He delights to reveal it to us. It's not His heart. His heart is to give and to make us understand it. He wants us to be in fellowship with Himself in His own thoughts and what He has given to us to understand. But I believe, as Paul prayed for the Ephesians, his desire was that they would have that understanding given to them, and trust that the Lord would give each one of us that desire in dependence upon Him to have that moral walk that would give us the ability to understand His mind.